This morning we're going to be examining Genesis chapter 27, and in it we're going to see both the sovereignty of God and the depravity of humans. Let's look at this a moment, and then we'll have a prayer. It says in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 27, "Now it came about, when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see, that he called his older son Esau and said to him, 'My son,' and he said to him, 'Here am I.' Isaac said, 'Behold, now I am old and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, please take your gear, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die.'" Let's look to our Lord. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. We pray, Father, you'd open up our hearts, our minds, our spirits, as we receive what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. And may we be listening, Father. May we be listening to your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We see the situation here that Isaac considers himself, he's about ready to die, and so he calls his son, his oldest son, Esau, to bless him, give him the patriarchal blessing. And we can peek a little bit ahead and see in verse 27 and 28 what he intended to do to bless Esau. Of course, you know the story, and you know ultimately he's blessing Jacob instead. But let's look at this, to what he intended to bless Esau with. He says, "And see, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and the abundance of grain and new wine." These are agricultural blessings. These are material blessings, of course, that Esau would love to have, and he expects to get them. And then he says may the people serve you and nations bow down to you and be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you, and cursed be those who curse you and blessed be those who bless you. The last part is referring to the portion of the Abrahamic covenant where God told Abraham and ultimately passed on to his descendants that I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And that is still valid today. The children of Israel, this is a promise that God will bless those who bless Israel and those who curse Israel will be cursed. We don't see it happening all the time right now, but that's a promise of God, and it will happen. But what I'd like to focus on a little bit at this point is verse 29. It says, "May people serve you and nations bow down to you and be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you." What we see here is he's saying, I am going to bless you, Esau, and you're going to be blessed to the point that Jacob's descendants are going to bow down before you. Jacob and his descendants are going to serve Esau. That is basically what he intended for Esau. But I'd like you to notice back in Genesis chapter 25, when Rebekah was pregnant and she was expecting a child, she didn't know there was two sons. All of a sudden they were fighting in amongst her abdomen, and she was struggling, and she didn't know what was going on, and so she asked the Lord, and this is what God revealed to her. Two nations are in your womb. So he's telling her, you're going to have twins, and two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. Now, there's not a lot of elaboration, but one thing is clear, that God is revealing the younger son will be the leader. The older son will serve the younger. In other words, Esau is going to serve Jacob. Now, I am absolutely convinced that Rebekah shared that information with Isaac before the children were born even. So Isaac knew what the revelation of God was. And so when they were named, he knew that the revelation of God was that Jacob would be the leader, that Esau would serve his younger brother, that Esau and Esau's descendants would serve Jacob and Jacob's descendants. That is clear revelation from the Lord. Now, Isaac, by so doing that, saying that blessing, which he thought was to Esau, was in direct contradiction to the will of God. And he knew it. And yet, What did he do? We find in Genesis chapter 25 again that talking about after the boys were born, they were raised. Now, Isaac loved Esau. Why? In verse 28, because he had a taste for game. And I'm convinced that many, many times when Esau came in from his hunting, that he fixed some special meal just for his dad, and his dad loved it. And dad says, you're my favorite son. Didn't matter what God meant or God said, it mattered what he felt because his son fixed him savory food. It's a reminder, Esau sold his birthright for a pot of red stew. And now Isaac is willing to go against the revealed word of God to have some nice savory venison. I must say that Isaac had faith, because just because a hunter goes out to hunt doesn't mean he brings meat in. I know. It's been the fall since I have brought any meat home, and I've hunted quite a bit. But Isaac had faith, and Esau evidently was a very good hunter. But it says in verse 1, or verse 2, Isaac, behold, now I am old, and I do not know the day of my death. Isaac was 137 at that point. 137, and that's old. We agree that that's old. And we find that his brother, Ishmael, was 14 years older than he, and Ishmael died when he was 137. So now Isaac is at this point 137, same age that when his brother Ishmael died. And so he figured, well, I'm no guarantee how long I'm going to live. I might die. So I want to get this blessing on my oldest son. So he didn't know, but he didn't die right away. He died 43 years later. He lived to be 180. That was even older than Abraham was when he died at 175. So Isaac lived a long life, and he was not about to die, but he was afraid he was going to die, so now he thinks this is urgent. And so he tells his son Esau to go get some meat, and then he's going to fix the meat for him and be blessed, and things will go okay. Well, did you know there's, I don't know if Rebekah was in the tent at the time, probably not, but the walls of the tent don't block a lot of sound, and I'm not sure if she was at the door of the tent or around, but she says Rebekah was listening. She was listening to this conversation now, key eavesdropping, if you would, and while Isaac spoke to his son Esau, so when Esau went to the field to hunt for game, Rebekah said to her son Jacob. Notice it was his son Esau. It was her son Jacob. They both were parents of these both sons, but it identifies who is partial to whom. So she says has a issue here. Now I want you to know that God's word became true. God's revealed word came true. But remember, Esau sold his birthright for a pot of red stew. He did not care about the spiritual benefits of the birthright. In this case, he was going to be in the line of the promised Messiah. There's many other spiritual benefits, but there were some material benefits too. And the one who had the birthright was the one who should receive the patriarchal blessing. So the blessing actually belonged to Jacob. I heard it say, you know, that Jacob stole Esau's birthright. That's not true. Esau and Isaac were trying to take the blessing. Esau and Isaac were trying to take Jacob's blessing. And so as a result, God was sovereign. And I don't know, there's a lot of deception here. And God does not praise this. In fact, because of the deception, everyone involved who is in this deception is punished. There's problems come about because of the deception. I do not know how it could have been handled differently. In all probability, and God could have done anything, as his ways are infinite, how to accomplish that. So what he could have done, or God could have done, Rebekah, instead of deceiving her father-in-law, instead of that, she could have gone to Isaac, not it wasn't her father-in-law, her husband, sorry. She could have gone to Isaac and said, "Now, Isaac, remember what God revealed before the boys were born, that the older would serve the younger. Now, when you bless them, you remember that so that God's word is carried about." Now, she could have done that. I don't know if Isaac would have responded. He could have done many other things. God could have convicted him before it happened. But Rebekah so often is like Abraham in chapter 12, and Sarah later on took things into her own hands. And she paid for the price too. Even though God was sovereign, he worked through it. She told her son, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and get some," she told what happened. Then she said, "I want you to go get me a couple goats from the flock and bring them to me, and I'll fix that meal like I know Esau fixed the meal for his dad." And it's quite possible she taught him how to do it. I don't know. But she knew how to fix it where this goat meat would taste like Esau's venison. He says, Jacob answered his mother and said, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, then as I shall be as a deceiver in his sight, and I shall bring upon myself a curse, not a blessing." But Rebekah said, "The curse be upon me." I mentioned that God is sovereign, but Rebekah is planning the scheming plan. She's scheming. And that doesn't please the Lord. Now, she said, "The curse be upon me." And here's one of the things, in my opinion, that God punished her by. Remember who her favorite son was? Jacob. Well, she hears that her son Esau is going to kill Jacob. That was out of the plan. I don't know what to do there, but I'm going to protect my son. So she sends sends Jacob to Laban, her brother, so that he might get somebody to marry him. And by the way, he's 77. He and Esau are 77 at this time. How'd you like to start a marriage and family at 77? Well, that's what he did. Come on. We need to build up this church. So she sends him off, and he doesn't come back for 20 years. And in the meantime, Rebekah dies. She never sees her favorite son again. All she sees is her oldest son that she does not like, and she's hanging around her husband, which she doesn't trust, evidently, and she's seeing these daughters-in-law that are a pain in the neck for her, as well as their children, their brats. I'm adding there, that's not in the scripture. So what? She never saw her favorite son again. That was the cost for being so deceptive. Well, Jacob recognized the problem, and she says, "I don't care, you do what I say." So he goes out there, gets the lambs or gets the kids and the goats, and brings them to his mother, and she fixes the food. And then she takes the skins of the goats and fixes some clothes and puts it where around his necks and his arms and hands, so that he feels his body feels hairy. She does everything she can to deceive, and uses four of the five senses. She's able to do it. First of all, he's blind. I think he had cataracts, and they didn't have cataract surgery in those days. But 137, I guess he earned them. The point is, He had cataracts, or he could not see. His eyes were dim. So she didn't have to worry about that. But so then she got some clothes of Esau's that had the smell of Esau, and so that took care of his sense of smell. The sense of sight, the sense of smell, the sense of touch. He was covered with the goat skins, and so there was the sense of touch. He felt like he was hairy. So now she fixes the food, so it's a sense of taste. So it's all pointing to Esau. The one thing she could not fix and bring deception, she could not make Jacob speak like Esau. His voice was different. I suspect Esau's was a bass and his was a tenor. I don't know. And I don't know if they sang, but they didn't sing together. The thing is, she does everything she can to be deceptive, and yet Isaac is suspicious. Then Jacob came to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I. Who are you, my son?" That's his first indication he's suspicious. "Who are you, my son?" He knows he's his son, but which one? So Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done what you've told me. Get up, please, and sit and eat of my game, that you may bless me. This is his first lie. The responsibility of the deception belonged to Rebekah. But he is now cooperating, and he tells this lie. And that is wrong. So he's deceiving his father with this lie. And then Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have it so quickly, my son?" Well, he knows that hunting is hard, and it's not apt to do this so quickly. But he says, there's something wrong. He's suspicious again. And Jacob answers, "Because the Lord your God caused it to happen to me. I just happened to be so lucky." That's a second lie. So he's deceiving his father with this lie. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come close that I may feel you, my son, whether or not you're really my son Esau or not." So he's suspicious again, and so he says, "I want to feel you." So Jacob came close to Isaac, and he felt him, and he said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob's, but the hands are the hands of Esau." So now he knows, all right, the hands feel like it. But boy, your voice sure sounds like a lot like Jacob. So he's really suspicious, He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He really wasn't convinced. And he said, "I am." Another lie. So he said, "Bring it to me, and I will eat of my son's game, that I may bless you." And he brought it to him, and he ate, and he drank wine. And his father said, Isaac said to him, "Please come close and kiss me, my son." He's still suspicious. Come, kiss me. And so he said, he came close and kissed him, and when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him and said. So he is now deceived. He's overcome his suspicions when the smelling of the garments, so everything seemed except the sound of his voice. So then he blessed him. And he blessed him with agricultural benefits, and he blessed him with military benefits over his son Esau and his descendants. And so he blessed him. And then about that time, talk about timing, says, "And what came about, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob," Jacob had hardly gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, "and Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting." So now Esau's come. Talk about timing. You go, I come. That's the idea. Just barely missing him. And so Esau came in, fixed his game, and then he brought it to his father, and he said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am Esau, your oldest son. Arise and eat." And at that time, Isaac realized what had happened. And he started trembling violently. He recognized that something else was going on here, that he had been deceived. But I think also he recognized God's hand in it, that God fulfilled his word in spite of what Isaac was trying to do. And he was upset. And he said this, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me so that I ate all of it before you came and blessed him? And yes, he shall be blessed." He recognized his blessing on Jacob was irrevocable. The patriarchal blessing is irrevocable. Even though it is verbal, it is irrevocable. And remember, the one who has the birthright has the blessing. It was Jacob's blessing all along. And God was sovereign. And God worked through their deception to fulfill his will. But you don't get away with disregarding the will and revealed will of God. Even though God works through it, God still deals with those of us who do wrong when we're responsible. I recognize the grace and the forgiveness, but what we see here is Rebecca, for her part in this deception, never saw her favorite son again. Her life was miserable. Maybe that's why she gave up the ghost before 20 years was out. I don't know. Jacob deceived. And he was deceived 10 times by his uncle Laban. And he was deceived twice by his sons. Once by the situation with Dinah, when Levi and Simeon deceived the people of Shechem and ultimately killed the people there. And once he was deceived, Jacob was deceived, when they said Joseph must be dead, brought the coat of many colors with the blood of a goat, and he was deceived. Jacob himself was deceived. And interesting, by the blood of the goat is when he was deceived his dad, and by the blood of the goat he was deceived himself about Joseph. Yes, God worked it out, but everyone who was involved was punished. I think about Isaac. Isaac was blind. He was not deaf, but he was blind. I don't know what he did all day, do you? He could hear, but there was no radio. There was no TV to have noise in the background. There were no smartphones. There was no computer that he could play computer games on. There was no Twitter or tweet or social media. What did he do to keep his mind, keep him going insane? Well, probably listening to the sheep go, baa. Maybe hearing the donkeys, hee-haw, hee-haw. Sorry. Yeah, please forgive me. You'll never forget that one. But what did he do? He heard Esau's wives bickering with his wife. He heard Esau's children, the brats probably. I'm putting in some things. But the point is, for 43 years, he lived with what he had done or tried to do. And I believe God convicted him. Yes, there's forgiveness, but there's still punishment. Whatever else we see here, we see that God is sovereign. The things that are going on in this world, God knows, and he is still going to bring his kingdom. There's still going to be a tribulation. There's still going to be the Jewish people surviving the tribulation. There's going to be a one-world government. Not that we want it, but God is still going to be sovereign, and he's going to fulfill his word. But those, and sometimes we ourselves are they, who disobey God, God's revealed will, and we do our own thing. No, God, I'm not going to do that. And if there's a scheme in your heart, if there's something that God is convicting you about today, folks, it's not worth to rebel against God. He knows how, quote, in a sense, to get even. He knows how to bring punishment and discipline upon his children, and he will. He doesn't spoil us. He loves us to death, but he doesn't spoil us. So, if there's something going on in your life, you're wrestling with whether to follow God or not, I ask you, I urge you, I beseech you, turn your will over to the Lord. Let him have his way in you, and he knows how to bless and honor you far more abundantly than we can think. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your sovereignty. You work through even our errors and plans and failures to bring about your perfect work. But Lord, help us to be obedient to you so we don't have to go through your discipline, that we can receive your blessings, that we can sense your presence and your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.